The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. Does your nonprofit have a monthly giving program, but wonder if there's more you could be doing to engage those donors? Or maybe you are looking to start one. Regardless of where you are in your journey to a robust pipeline of recurring givers, I know you'll enjoy this conversation with Erica Wasdorp, who literally wrote the book and recently published a new one on the topic of monthly giving programs. Hello, Erica. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks. It's really hot right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're up in the Northeast, right?
I am. Yes.
I was watching a YouTube video the other day of someone who was sews and was making some kind of a dress, and she posted it recently and was talking about the heat, and because a lot of folks up there don't have air conditioning. So I hope you're not melting today.
No, it's not too bad. I thought you were going to say I watched a YouTube video about the guy that got swallowed up by the whale.
No, there's a video about it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like a video about him telling the story about what happened, but yeah, he made it out alive.
It's my goodness.
Yeah. The old fisherman. Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I know exactly what I'm doing after I wrap this episode. And if it's incredible, we might have to just include it in the show notes.
That's great.
All righty. Well, let's just dive right in. So, Erica, you appeared on the show before. Last time in January of 2020, we sat down, we talked about sustaining giving. A lot has changed since then. So would you be willing to open up a little bit about, you know, kind of what we discussed then and what about your role now and kind of your experience in the nonprofit industry?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think since January of 2020, of course, we've all been in this pandemic and we continue to be in it. So I think nobody could have known that that was what was going to happen. So if nothing else, I think the power of monthly giving has really shown itself. And again, just even looking back at the last year and some of the statistics that I'm seeing, it's like how monthly donors have stepped up to the plate, existing monthly donors have upgraded. They literally called organizations to say, hey, do you need me to increase my monthly gift, right? So they're just amazing. And of course, like having that money that you can count on no matter what happens, that has become even more important for organizations. So monthly giving is powerful. And I think people are finally starting to believe that and take some action on it. So I wrote a book, you know, The Monthly Giving the Sleeping Giant, which was like the end of 2012. And at the time, I mean, it was still like mail, phone, a little bit of email, you know, monthly giving was not that easy. But since then, every single platform, every donor base has worked in monthly giving. So it has really become a lot easier to make it happen. It's just, you have to focus on it to actually make it happen. So you have to make it a thing, as one of my fundraising colleagues call it, right? So I think that's the new thing. It's like it's become a lot easier. It's just you need to focus on it. It's not something that you just do in January. You just have to keep planting the seeds about it and keep it going and constantly offer donors the opportunity that they can make a gift and contribute in a way that's convenient for them. So and, you know, I mean, I've been doing monthly giving for, you know, 28 years now, believe it or not, like almost half my life. And I've seen the power. I mean, I've gone through 9/11. I've gone through a lot of like disasters. And I know that the money keeps coming in without you basically doing something for it once you have them giving monthly. So that's why I've become so interested in it, because I see that power.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. I would say, I mean, 2020 was for sure one of the, you know, greatest global crises I think many of us can recount in our lifetimes. And we do know that with smaller crises over the years, that does tend to be a catalyst, especially if you're the kind of organization that delivers services and relief to any kind of a crisis. Typically, that's what spurs a lot of giving. And so what we saw in 2020 was really incredible. Donors and dollars across the board were up. And the M&R Benchmarks reported that they saw an overall 26% growth year over year in monthly giving. And so it's definitely something that has been, that is top of mind, and fundraisers want to make sure that they're getting it right and really optimizing that channel of giving. So you recently released a new book. I know that you just mentioned that you released one in 2012, which is nearly a decade ago, which is kind of getting me a little bit scared, but you know what? So what's new, what's happened over those years, and what kind of initially got you interested in monthly giving programs?
Yeah. So the new book is Monthly Giving Made Easy. Again, it's become a lot easier since I wrote that first book called Monthly Giving, The Sleeping Giant. So what's new is that, again, people are used to digital fundraising. Donors are going online. Donors are on social. Donors are comfortable with texting, with text giving. So those are a couple of the new opportunities for fundraising in general, you know, giving days, you know, and more emails and activity, peer-to-peer fundraising as well. So all of those different things that ask donors for money offer an opportunity for donors to give monthly as well. So in the book, it's literally like you can take it and you can open the table of contents and sort of like throw a pin in and say, okay, let me look at that page. All right. And it's probably something that if you don't do it already, you can implement it in very little time and for virtually no resources. To give you an example, adding a button to every email that you do can help boost the results, right? So, because again, it's all about planting the seed. So the donors might not respond in oodles and oodles and oodles at the same time, but you're picking up one here, there, you know, so it all adds up, right? Putting something in a PS. Those are little things that don't cost you anything, but a little time to work it into your email, right? So that's just one thing. Again, two-step approaches for social media. You know, if you're trying to ask a donor a question on social media, like, are you a cat or a dog person? Or, you know, have them vote yes or no, whatever it is. And then as a thank you email, as a follow-up to that answer to that question, you can say, hey, you know, like, we really need your support. Would you consider a monthly gift? And then you click through to the monthly donation page, right? So those are things, again, doesn't cost you anything. A welcome email series, build it in there. So a lot of different things that, again, don't cost you much. And it's very easy to set up because you already have the tools. It's not like you have to go out and buy a really expensive a new refrigerator to do it, right? You know, so you already have it. You have your website, you have your online giving platform, you have your donor base in place in most cases. So, and it also, organizations of any size. So you don't have to be big to do it. It does take a little bit of time. So I always say, like, start with 1 hour a week. Just see what you can do in 1 hour a week. You know, you can create a button in 1 hour a week, right? That's kind of like some of the new things. It's just like a lot of ideas based on acquisition, trying to bring in new monthly donors, focused on cultivation and stewardship. Again, people, you know, always look at saying, how do I best steward my monthly donors, right? And, you know, what should I send them? And do I need a Chodsky, you know, things like that. And then, of course, the whole retention piece. Once you've got them, how do you keep them? What do you do to make that happen? And again, sometimes it's a matter of like, okay, you got to make some phone calls. You got to send some emails. You may send some letters, right? So it's 130 pages of chock full of stuff and actionable items.
Something interesting, and I wonder if you dive into it in the book, has to do with a lot of intentionality that I see at different sizes of organizations around branding their monthly giving program. We see, I mean, a great example of a Charity Waters, they call it Pipeline. People who, it's creating kind of a tribe around people who give at a certain level, so they kind of feel part of a club. And that's one thing that I've noticed over the years. And to me, if a nonprofit doesn't brand their monthly giving program, it definitely seems like a missed opportunity because, you know, we like being part of a tribe. We like mm-hmm. saying, okay, I know if I give this much, this is exactly what the impact of my cumulative gift is. And so, you know, I'd love to kind of know more of your thoughts on that and where you see nonprofits doing things really well and where you see people kind of missing some opportunities.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, branding is important. I mean, I always recommend that you have a name for your program that fits with your mission. But I also, at the same time, also say, well, if you don't have a name yet and it's holding you up to start doing something, I would say, don't let that happen, right? So get going, and then you can always go back and recognize monthly donors later as being part of that community, if you will. But yes, if you can come up with a cool name, and there in my book, there's also some ideas for, you know, monthly giving names, then that's wonderful. So, and I've heard some great examples, the Heartbeat, you know, Pipeline, the Spring, Guardians, you know, there's lots of Partners in Animal Welfare. I mean, there's lots and lots of great names. So yes, having donors be part of a community is great, but you also want to, again, you want to make sure that you're not overthinking it. So if, you know, you're better off like saying, okay, once you join this community, we'll send you updates. We'll keep you updated on how your gifts are making a difference. So, but don't hang yourself up about the fact that you got to get your quarterly newsletter ready and it's got to be this event invitation and all of that kind of stuff, right? You're better off like saying, wow, I just got a really, really exciting note from a client that, you know, we've served. And I think that would be phenomenal. We'll pop it in an email and we'll send it out to our community of monthly donors. And guess what? You have a special tag or attribute or, you know, email group, right? So that you know that those monthly donors are separate. So you can even use that for other donors, right? They're not going to get the same thing. So surprises are always great, right? So you're better saying, these are my basics. And then, you know, like a tax letter in January and regular updates, access to the organization is really valuable to monthly donors. Certainly doesn't have to cost a lot of money to do it either. Again, you know, donors don't want you spending money on that stuff. They want the money to go to the mission, right?
I think that's very interesting to me. And so you mentioned providing your, you know, your monthly donor program, people in your monthly donor program with access to special information to feel like they're in the know on things. How often should they be hearing about this? Should they be getting a weekly email? Should they be getting a monthly email on the date that they make their gift every month, you know, whatever month it comes out? What are some best practices around keeping that drumbeat of information consistent, but also not like just cluttering up the inbox?
Right. Yeah. So again, it kind of, you always want to start with like, what are you doing now? So in other words, because again, I work with organizations of all different sizes. And some organizations, they're lucky to send an email once a quarter. So, you know, to their donors in general, right? But if you're, you know, so, and again, there's that fine line between too much and not enough, right? So again, just think about what is doable within your organization, because the last thing you want to do is stress out over it, or somebody's so stressed and leaves and then it doesn't happen anymore, right? So So again, it needs to be something that is like almost maybe like automatable, right? So much stuff is now automatable within your email program. And then, yeah, so sit down, take that 1 hour on a Monday, for example, and say, okay, well, what would I like to see happen? Okay, so there's like a thank you email when they join, then there's like maybe a thank you call from somebody in the organization. Maybe you have access to some video that you can send that just says thank you, right? So, and then just kind of space that out. So maybe something every other day. So it doesn't all get in, you know, like sometimes I see this happen and I join a lot of organizations, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I'm getting my email, thank you. And then a minute later, I'm getting another email. And then like 5 minutes later, I'm getting a video. So it's like, whoa, now I'm overwhelmed, right? So mm-hmm. just kind of spread that out a little bit for your sake and for the donor's sake, right? But by all means, you know, just because somebody signs up online, send them something in the mail. Maybe you want to engage a volunteer and it's their job to send thank you notes to all new monthly donors and to all new donors for that matter, right? So it's just a different version of what they're writing on the thank you note, for example. And yeah, and then get them involved in the email. So if you have a monthly e-news, include your monthly donors in the monthly e-news, but just make a tiny, tiny change in the first line. Or if you have a branded logo, which again, you don't have to, but you can. So if you want to brainstorm a little bit about a branded logo, like the ASPCA has a great little branded Guardians logo, you know, so and that's on every email that they send to me as a Guardian, as a monthly donor. So yeah, so send that logo brand or that name on it, or and just say, dear, you know, first name, thank you so much for being a monthly donor. And here's your monthly e-news update, or here's your update for you. So that's at a minimum, like I would say a monthly e-newsletter would be great. And then, you know, again, some like if you can pull it off, maybe a town hall or a Zoom call with donors, a virtual tour, you know, whatever you can do that engages them more into your mission. And that could be something like you do every quarter or every half year. And then finally, I think one of the things, it's one of those myths, actually, like people think like, oh, and this used to be the case when I first started a monthly giving. It was like, oh, okay, once they become a monthly donor, you don't want to overwhelm them. You don't want to ask them. You don't want to send them too much stuff because we don't want them to stop, right? The reality is they care. They invest in your organization. They want to support you. They want to know more about you, right? So have them, you know, engage them during the year and also include them in some special appeals. If you are doing Giving Tuesday or Giving Days, by all means, include your monthly donors in that opportunity, but make sure that you say thank you for their ongoing monthly support first. And you will see that those emails are getting opened at higher rates and they're going to click through at higher rates, right? So, and you can include monthly donors in certain appeals, like written appeals as well, direct mail appeals, especially if, say, you have a calendar or a membership card. That those types of things really resonate with donors in general, but they especially resonate with monthly donors. So, I mean, if I'm a monthly donor and I know that you've got this great calendar and I'm not getting one, I would feel slighted, right?
Are you asking questions about your fundraising data but are struggling to find actionable insights? Pursuant's GivingDNA platform is here to help. We combine your constituent data, donation data, third-party information, and tack on augmented intelligence to provide you with insights about who is giving to you, what motivates them to give, and which channels through which they prefer to engage. The platform also comes with baked-in opportunity segments that show you who is most likely to give a large gift, is most likely to lapse, and most likely to give monthly. All this and much more is at the fingertips of fundraisers like you. No IT or data analyst required. Learn more at givingdna.com today.
It is interesting how, I mean, you know, we talk a lot about how you want a relational relationship with your monthly donors, with all of your donors, but there is something to be said for the more transactional elements of your interaction with them. So for example, in email best practices show that one of the highest opened types of emails is a like receipt. Like when you send a receipt to somebody, you know, when you make an online purchase and it's an instant email, those emails get opened at crazy high rates because people want to know that like their gift actually went through. I mean, same thing when you make a purchase online, you want to know that like your purchase went through and here's what you can expect next. And so there's a lot of organizations that I see missing opportunities in their, you know, payment confirmation, your monthly gift confirmation email, because like it's very likely that people are going to be opening that up because they're expecting that email every month on a certain date. And so you can invite them within that same email to say, you know, if like let's say you have a series that goes out every month, or you have maybe a recent interview that you did or article or something, always use that as an opportunity to share more information. Another thing that I see nonprofits kind of missing opportunities in with their monthly donors is they don't ask them to upgrade their giving every year. I have an organization that I've been giving to for probably 6 years now, and I've been giving a small amount that I barely noticed coming out of my account. And they could come back to me and ask for probably twice that, and I wouldn't bat an eye, but they have it. They don't think to, because they don't want to, you know, step on toes. But I think most of the time people will respond when they're asked. And so, anything that I share kind of sparks some thinking for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that you make a really good point. Again, I mean, if you look at the Black Blood study, that looks at like about 35 to 40 big organizations every year as part of their sustainable benchmarking. I mean, 12% of monthly donors upgrades when you ask them. So, and then about 6.5% make at least one extra gift a year, right? So again, if you don't do that, you've just missed out on a lot of money. But I give to a lot of organizations monthly. And similarly, I might be lucky to get one or two. I mean, there's one organization that tries to convert my credit card to EFT on a regular basis. So that's another good strategy. And then, you know, one or two organizations that are trying to upgrade my monthly gift. Mm-hmm. And again, for some of these, I've been giving monthly for years and years and years, right? So, I mean, I don't see a lot of organizations doing surveys, asking me what I would like. I don't see a lot of organizations asking me, hey, would you like to receive text messages? You know, so I think there's, again, a lot of these missed opportunities from somebody that is really committed to the organization, right? So I'm not just, a monthly donor is not a transactional one-time giver. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're committed. They're going to give you a lot of things. And I mean, this one organization I know that they do a really good job, you know, sending like thank you, like personalized thank you messages. They're leaving thank you phone messages, you know, even if it's like a voice broadcast. I mean, they're inviting me to town halls. So, and again, it's not a huge organization per se, right? But they have found the time to fit that in. But absolutely, upgrades are great. Extra gift asks are great. And, you know, just making sure that you set up like the stream of what would you like the process to be when somebody joins. Write it down. It doesn't take that long to write it down. And you're like, oh, hey, you know, oh, I know we always do this this newsletter. Where's the print newsletter in this whole mix? Yeah, absolutely. Print newsletter should go to our monthly donors, right? You know, so just things like that.
People have been talking about multi-channel or omni-channel for years, and, you know, where you're engaging people in multiple different channels. And, you know, and I think there's kind of, I don't know if this resonates with you, but I think there's a myth out there that like younger folks, millennials and younger, don't like want mail or don't open the mail. And there's also myths around like, you know, email as being a declining channel because of so many junk mails going out. But I don't know about you, but I would say one that I think research disproves that, but also people engage in different ways in different channels. And even if you may get a gift from them, let's say digitally, or you may get a gift from them only via check, but they may be also following you on social media, and they may hear an ad from you on the radio if you're doing a radio campaign, but then they'll go online or they'll put a check in the mail. So just because people might give in a certain channel doesn't necessarily mean, it may mean that that's the channel you ask for their gift in, but they may want to be engaged and communicated with in multiple different channels.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I haven't looked at it in a while, but when telemarketing was a much more common channel to generate monthly donors. I mean, it's still a good channel, but it's a little bit harder because so many people don't have home phones anymore. And, you know, mobile phone rules and regulations are a little bit different. But with research that says, okay, you might call somebody, ask them for a monthly gift, and they might say no on the phone. But then subsequently, if they get something in the mail, they'll actually do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and because at first they were like, oh yeah, no, you know, no. And again, you know, obviously when you get a call, you're sometimes doing something else. So, but then they're like, you know, I thought about it. That's actually not a bad idea. I can spread out my giving. That's really a good idea. Right. So yeah. So it all combined. And the same with like, you might be planting some emails and then you're not getting somebody to do it. But then when a mailing comes in or when they're on social media and they're seeing that engagement, they're like, you know, I thought about it. This is great, you know, so let's do it, right? So absolutely. And to coming to your, you know, younger people that don't get mail, I mean, yeah, so their mailbox is not that full. So if you send something that's, you know, like even if it's a postcard or, you know, whatever fits with your mission, that's, again, very, very powerful. Like, wow, hey, you know, who doesn't like a thank you card? Come on, really? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, everybody likes thank you cards. And guess what? I'm from the Netherlands. Thank you cards were not a thing, okay? That didn't exist. So, I mean, you know, you would usually, when you go visit somebody, you would bring a bottle of wine or a box of chocolates, you know, and then there you go. But sending thank you cards, well, I've totally adopted that practice. I love it. It's great. So, mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't like getting it? So,
cards are wonderful. I remember one time I moved into a new apartment and I set up, I don't think I'd even set up a service with them, but just by, you know, my name was probably on some list when I did a change of address form. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I got an actual like greeting card that was in a blue envelope and it was put in the mail. And I opened it up and it said, you know, Leah, welcome to your new home. And then there was some marketing piece on it, but it looked so much like an actual, like, congrats on your move. Mm-hmm. Welcome to your new home card that I was actually touched by it. And I know that it was some computer that sent it to me or some person in the mail, but those things are really powerful and they really do connect with people. Just because we're talking about it, about computers and data, I just wanted to throw in a plug really quick about the Giving DNA platform, which is Pursuant's donor analytics, fundraising analytics software tool, because there's a really cool feature in it where there are some different auto-generated segments within it, one of which is a monthly sustaining giving candidates segment. And so it will just identify folks on your file who aren't giving monthly, who would be very likely to convert maybe their one-time gift or their sporadic gift into a monthly gift. And the reason I bring that up is because whether someone is using Giving DNA as their fundraising data tool or not, I bet that there are lots of people sitting in your file who, if you just did some simple analysis on them, would be happy to give monthly if asked.
Absolutely. Especially like if somebody, depending upon how often you reach out to your donors, but those donors who've given in the last 6 months, those donors are making two or three gifts or more, you know, in the last 6 months, those are really, you know, smaller gifts, right? So I'm not talking about like anything over like 250. So typically your smaller donors, well, what do you get to lose by asking them to give monthly? And yeah, be very targeted about it. So.
And the great thing about those types of donors is they may only be able to give at a small amount now, but we see that monthly donors retain at a really high level once you get them into that program. And so maybe in 5 years, you know, there's someone who you've built up that relationship with of them continually give to you, then in 5 years, whenever they may get a big bonus at work, they want to send that to you.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the best story I've heard is like our son graduated from a college and we got their newsletter and in it, it was talking about a $10 million gift that had been received by a donor who started out as a $5 a month alum, you know, 20 years ago, but still, hey, you know, they start as $5 a month. And if you do the cultivation piece right, you'll get the ultimate gift or the big gift. So, and you know, monthly donors too, a lot of them are, you know, they're more likely to leave you in their will. So again, they may not have the big bucks right now. They care really about your organization. So have, you know, plant those seeds once you get them to give monthly. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, like, you know, as fundraisers, we need to understand that donors do not read minds. We have to tell them that we need them. And, you know, whether it's asking for a one-time gift or for a monthly gift, I mean, that doesn't really matter. It's like, what is convenient for them? How are they most comfortable giving? And again, you know, a monthly gift may just be best for their budget right now because they have rent and, you know, student loans and all that kind of stuff, right? But ultimately, yeah, they'll be ready and willing and able to make bigger gifts.
Awesome. Well, Erica, thank you so much for hopping on the phone and having this conversation with us today. If anyone listening or viewing today wants to get in touch with you to learn more about some of the monthly giving work that you do with nonprofits, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, the best way is probably like, first of all, check out my website, adirectsolution.com. So adirectsolution.com. Lots of great resources there. There's also a statistics page, you know, so anything I've, you know, gotten my hands on when it comes to statistics and trends in monthly giving, because there's not that much, unfortunately, it's there. And, you know, send me an email, erica@adirectsolution.com. So, and I'm very responsive. I love getting questions. I mean, it's food for like blogs, obviously, right? And ideas. So, so yes, absolutely. Get in touch with me. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask, because monthly giving can be easy, you know, so if you want it to be.
Absolutely. And it's such a, and as we've seen, it's such a powerful way for when the next crisis hits, and maybe you have one area in your fundraising that takes a nosedive in giving, having that regular monthly recurring revenue is such a lifeline when things are uncertain.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this year has certainly shown that. And, you know, I mean, just like one more word about, like, again, you know, like sometimes these misconceptions that people have. For example, when COVID first happened, people were really, really worried that their existing monthly donors were going to cancel. Mm. And the percentage rate of people that were actually canceling was very, very minimal. And especially those organizations that put what they call like a save script in place that says, oh, would you be, you know, I understand you can't make that gift right now, but can we contact you in a couple of months? Or would it be okay to lower the amount? I mean, that has really made a difference. So a lot of organizations, they were able to hold on to like 20 to 30% of their canceling monthly donors. But again, that first month, March, April, was a little bit of a drop off. And then after that, it was a non-issue. People were just there and says, look, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep going because I see that it makes a difference. So,
Absolutely. Well, thanks for adding that bit of encouragement right there at the end. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to getting some more insights from your book.
Great. You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.